Good morning.
Good morning.
Right now, our church, Wesley United Methodist Church and Christ United Methodist Church are looking for what God's vision is for his churches. And I would think that all of us would know without a doubt that God does have a plan for us, that he is the one who is in control. We just need to be open to God and what he has for us. I don't know about you, but I wish I would come in some Sunday morning and written on a big whiteboard at the front of the sanctuary was a plan saying, my plan is this, God. However, that's not the way it works. So we have to wonder, even if God did that, even if God put it in black and white, what it was that he had for us as his churches, would we adhere to it? I'm sure we wish we would. I'm sure we would say, yes, God, whatever it is. And yet we often know that God's ways are not our ways. I often think that Abraham and Isaac and how God called him to take Isaac up to sacrifice him on that mountain and how Abraham obeyed that command. And I think, would any one of us have obeyed God if that is what he had commanded of us? And yet God calls us to be obedient to him. Sometimes it's hard for us to discern what it is that he wants us to be obedient to. It's hard for us to discern God's will. It's hard to open ourselves up to see and to hear his voice and how it is that he is calling us as individuals and as his church. I sometimes wonder if we really ever think about the times that we fail God, that we have failed to listen to his voice, to do what he asks us to do. Maybe the question is, do we even recognize when we fail him? I am sure there are times in my life that I probably don't only fail him, but I refuse to listen to him. That I have my own thought process of how I think things should be, and so that's where my mind goes instead of saying, Lord, I am open to you and your will. But then there are other times that I am open to that and God's Holy Spirit nudges me or prods me and says, whoa, that's not the way that I want you to do that. You know, you need to take a different direction here, and I open myself to that. Is that how it is with you? Are there times that you feel that you may not be open to God's Holy Spirit? And other times that you're very open to it. I think it's probably safe to say that in our humanity, that's how we probably all are. You know, we tend to think about Scripture. We tend to think about people like St. Peter who, you know, that first sermon that he preached, that more than 3,000 souls were saved. We tend to think of the Apostle Paul and the churches that he built and how they grew, and we tend to look at them as superheroes. But we also need to remember that they were human too, and they didn't always do what was perfect. They failed just like us. And as Paul writes this letter to the church in Corinth, he is telling them, you are not heeding God's call. There was no perfect church either, and there still isn't. But the Bible is transparent about our humanity and our failure. But it's also very transparent about who God is for us, his sovereignty and his purpose for us. We're told God is faithful. God is faithful. He is always faithful. So even when we fail to be faithful, he remains faithful to us. Now, Paul writes this letter because he heard that the church was in a mess. And so what we heard this morning is when he begins to address this mess. And he uses a little bit of tact in this beginning address to them. But, you know, he starts out on this positive note. And as we continue in the book of Corinthians, we will see that that will change. But he begins by identifying himself as one of their brothers. I'm one of you. We're united together. But he wants to make sure that they understand what that foundation is that unites them. That foundation is the blood of Jesus Christ. But it doesn't take us long to see what it is that is dividing them. What is dividing them are the followers in that church. Some who feel that they need to follow Peter, some who feel that they need to follow Paul, some who feel that they need to follow Apollos, and others who feel they need to follow Christ. But what they fail to recognize is Peter, Paul, and Apollos are all called by God. And their authority all comes from God. So they're simply servants. Servants who are ready to serve the risen Savior, to heed the voice of God as he calls them to share the good news. The church wasn't Paul's idea. It wasn't even Peter's idea, even though that first sermon he preached was brought in more than 3,000 people. What did Jesus tell him? Peter, on you I will build my church. I am the rock. But it was God's idea that there would be a church. It wasn't Peter or Paul's or anyone else's, but God's. They just listened to the voice of God to do what they needed to do to build the church. So Paul goes to the church in Corinth, and as he's talking to them, he calls them saints. And what do you think of when you think of a saint? Do you think of yourself? I see people shaking their heads now. You know, being a saint means to be set apart, to be sanctified. That's a word that Paul uses in his scripture. Sanctified means to be set apart. But the word church also derives from a calling, the word calling. God had chosen, and he continues to choose, people to do the work he has for us here on earth. And he calls us to be the church. He has a special purpose for all of us. And so if we are followers of Jesus Christ, and if we are open to that Holy Spirit, we should look at ourselves as saints. We know that in the Catholic Church and in the Orthodox Church, they have a special group of people that they call saints in the church who they feel have went above and beyond to do these things that they do in the name of Jesus Christ. But if you stop to think about each of those people, they were doing what God called them to do, right? It doesn't mean that they were any more special. It just means they listened and obeyed, which is what God calls us to. He calls us to listen and he calls us to obey. Sometimes that's hard for us to do. The work of Jesus is to be carried out by those who follow him. We are to be his hands and his feet. And Paul tells the church in Corinth that, you know, the truth of what they are to do is to show the grace and the peace of the Lord Jesus Christ. That they have been called to do that. That they have a purpose in being the church. God has a purpose for his church today. And we are part of that purpose. We are his church. His church isn't a building. His church is the people. And God's people are not limited to one church, to one location, but made up together of many people. For those who follow Jesus Christ. This week I had an opportunity to speak to another pastor in the town of Tyrone. Him and I sat down together and had a very long conversation about what it means to be the Church of Jesus Christ. And how it is that we can work to reach the people here in Tyrone who don't yet know Jesus. And it's not important that he and I don't think alike on infant baptism. It's not important that his church uses a different translation of God's word as long as it is the truth of God's word in that translation. It doesn't matter whether we use a piano or an organ or a music box or drums. What matters is that we're sharing the truth and the love of the Savior of the world in a way that brings them into God's kingdom. But too often we're like the people that were at the church in Corinth. We have these divisions that really mean nothing. We divide ourselves by our human plot. We divide ourselves by where it is that we think we have to be. We divide our thoughts by who it is that we think we have to follow. And I'm sure this has happened in this church as well as churches that I have been in and churches I have served. That you build a relationship with this pastor, and when that pastor leaves, as we know they all do in the United Methodist Church, you tend to follow that pastor. When truly the one we are to be following is Jesus Christ. And so we need to ask ourselves, what is it that is causing division, and is it of Jesus? Or is it just because of the difference in personalities? See, Paul begins his instruction to the church about grace and peace. That's what God desires for his church. Is that who we are as God's church? Are we a church that it shows grace and peace to people? Are our lives living in grace and peace? Or are our lives showing others that we only are concerned about what our personalities, what our thoughts are? And I'm not just talking about here at Wesley United Methodist Church. I'm talking about the Church Universal, the United Methodist Church right now. Is the United Methodist Church living lives of grace and peace towards our brothers and our sisters? Is a split in the United Methodist Church required so that we are able to live those lives? I can't answer that. First of all, we don't know that there's going to be a split for sure. In most of the news media you heard, it sounded as if that had already happened. It hasn't. It's something that will have to go before General Conference. And if you remember, General Conference is a worldwide conference. There will be representatives from around the world who will be at that conference. But we have to ask ourselves that in this conflict that is affecting our church, who is being hurt? Because people are being hurt. Grace and peace are not being shown to all people. So I think that we need to be in prayer for ourselves. I think we need to be in prayer for our brothers and sisters around the world. I think we need to be in prayer for those who will be our representatives at General Conference. We need to be in prayer for our Council of Bishops. We need to be in prayer for the work that will be done at General Conference, because there is much work to be done at General Conference. It isn't just this one issue that's going to be dealt with. There's much other work to be done as well. That's what God desires for His church. He desires for His church for people to be able to work together, even in their differences. The church in Corinth was being asked to measure who they were as God's church by how they were carrying out God's will. Do we measure ourselves that way? Do we look at what it is that God's will is for us? Do we seek God's will for us? And then do we measure who we are in Christ by how we are carrying out that will? Paul wishes that was the case in the church of Corinth. But he knows that the church isn't reflecting grace. They aren't reflecting peace very well. He goes on to tell them that they have been provided with the spiritual gifts that are needed to be the church. God provides us the same. He provides us with every spiritual gift that is needed to be His church. And those gifts are meant to be used collectively to build up the church, not for our own purposes. So see, when the church doesn't build, when the kingdom of God isn't growing, we need to stop and ask ourselves, is it because we are getting in the way? Is it because we are not listening to how God is calling us to be the church? Verse 9 says, God is faithful. By Him you were called into the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. How do we have that fellowship with Jesus? Do we do it only as individuals? Are we individuals brought together by coming to the same building week after week? Are we having that fellowship because we all want to make sure we get to heaven? In that fellowship with Jesus Christ, do we have a responsibility to each other? Not only those who are here inside these four walls, but those who are not yet here. See, just like the church in Corinth, there are factions that separate us. Factions that threaten the growth of God's church. Paul is showing them what they need to do is come together in unity. That doesn't mean that we will all think alike, because we won't. God made us all to be individuals. He gave us all minds to think with. And so being united together doesn't mean that we're all going to think exactly the same way. But being united together means that we are all willing to listen to the voice of God. That we are all willing to discern what God has for us. And one thing that we know is we are united by the blood of Jesus Christ. And when that's where our faith is, then we will be able to hear God's voice, and we will be able to discern where He is leading us. See, Paul's approach could be expressed in the Reformation voice. Do you remember the Reformation? What happened in the Reformation? Martin Luther went and hung his thesis on the doors of the Catholic Church, and the church broke away from the Catholic Church. But in the thesis, he said, in essentials, unity. In essentials, unity. What are the essentials? That Jesus Christ came, died, rose again for the world. in non-essentials, liberty. Non-essentials, things such as, do we baptize infants or don't we? Do we use the New Revised Standard Version or the NIV version of the Bible? But in all things, love. See, we struggle for that common faith that unites us, the one that we are to live out in grace and in peace. This is the matter that is causing what is felt, that the United Methodist Church needs to split. Because people can't live in unity. They can't live with that grace for one another, to live in peace with one another. But I have to ask you, what about here in Tyrone? Are we able to be united because of the love of Jesus Christ? That love that extends his grace and his peace to all. Amen.